What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Cigarettes at Sunset out of North Carolina. Today we have Garrett and Sarah. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Doing good. You guys seem pretty busy. You're on the road right now, aren't you?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, we started back yesterday, and then we have a day off today, and then we're going to Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow.
Right on, right on. Yeah. So, I guess we'll just start out at the beginning here. If you guys want to kind of just tell us how the group got together, how everyone came together, all of that.
It was pretty random. Our guitarist, Roland, like probably 6 years ago now, was like hanging out with some of his buddies. And he just was like, dude, Cigarettes at Sunset, that's a great band name. And like a year or so later, I met him working at a rafting snowboard shop. And he was like, dude, you know how to use Logic, right? And I was like, kinda. And he was like, let's write some songs. And slowly kinda like became a band, and we played some shows. And that was when we convinced Sarah to join, because she's like a classically trained violin player, and she's never played in a bar before or ever.
Oh, expected, shit.
Never expected to do all those things. And we convinced her to come play like our second show. And we asked her to play Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. And she was like, all right. And then she stuck around for some other songs, and she's been with us ever since. And that's kind of the bubble there. There was like a year of writing songs, and then we finally played a show and met Sarah. Met Wells, our bass player, and Ethan, our drummer. And everything kind of came together there.
Yeah. A couple of us
right were on.
In the same area. And so I was going to go to their second show just for fun, because I was like, oh my gosh, these guys that I like went to high school with, they're starting a band, that's hilarious, I want to be there. And it was happening in a parking lot just down the road. Yep. And a couple hours before, one of them called me that I hadn't seen since, you know, like high school graduation, and he was like, will you please play Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls? I know you're classical, but just try it. And I was like, no.
And they convinced me. And then it worked.
Yeah, that's a cool origin story there. That's awesome. When did you say this was around? Like when you guys first kicked it off?
Like what year? The first show we played was like almost 4 years ago now. Right?
Okay.
3 years ago?
Four a little ago. Over two. Almost three.
I don't know.
It was okay, right on.
It was,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I see, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but either you have shows coming up, or you might have already played with guys like Dexter and the Moonrocks, Mitchell Ferguson, I think I might have seen, you're going to be playing with. So, and they're kind of – go ahead, sorry.
No. We just – yeah, you're right. We do have some shows coming up with them, and we're really stoked. And we met them – at least 2 years ago, I think.
It's also a funny little story. Our drummer would DM people on Instagram that he didn't think were going to answer. So, like, he DM'd Beyonce. and he liked Dexter and the Moonrocks.
No, Ryland liked Dexter.
Yeah, and so they DM'd Dexter thinking they wouldn't respond, and then they did.
And then Fox at first said no. He was like, that'd be fun, but no. And then we messaged him again, and he was like, yeah, why not? And he didn't know us, and they let us play in a city that we'd never played in before. And they sold it out all on their own, and we were like, holy shit, because we'd only played in parking lots and maybe a couple bars. But it was awesome. That was like, without Dexter and the Moonrocks, we would have never like realize like, oh, this is something we want, and this is something that is worth like going after and making happen.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that's a great group to be out there with. Just like the way they've been taking over everything, I feel like, recently.
Agreed.
And that's really cool. I interviewed them a long time ago, and it's still the most chaotic interview I ever had, because like they're just crazy dudes, especially Fox, and it was a good time.
Fucking genius. I love that guy. Oh my god.
Absolutely.
They're all just too, like, they're all very down to earth, and they write really good songs. Like that EP they just put out is, I think, the best collection of songs they've put out yet. And they're just going to do that every time, you know? Every batch of songs they put out is going to be better than the last.
Yeah. So when I was doing my little deep dive into everything, all your guys' music and stuff, I believe it was described as Appalachian possum rock. Is that something that... Explain to me what that is. I want to hear about like what you guys consider your sound, because being grouped in with guys like Dexter and the Moon Rocks and Mitchell Ferguson, that is like a unique group of artists because you can't put a label on them. And I feel like you guys are the same way. So explain to me what you guys think your style or sound is.
Yeah. So the couple of us that did grow up in the same area were in Appalachia or in the mountains in North Carolina. And I mean, Garrett grew up, I grew up in a one stoplight town. Garrett grew up in
no stoplight
town where like the roads are called,
Licklog,
Squirrel Creek, like, yeah, all sorts of things like that. Yeah. And so like, I remember growing up, my neighbors, wore straw hats and overalls, no top. Overall straw hat, and would like bring my dad homemade moonshine. Like it really is.
It's a different level of Southern. It's like unshameful Southern people, and it's awesome because all of our families are like that. They're just so unhinged.
That's where the Appalachian part is from. Because I feel like this, you know, Western grunge or like alternative. I don't know, like folk punk or whatever is popular right now. And we do have that country flair, but not in a Western way, in an Appalachian way. And so that's the Appalachian part. Possum rock is just, we were at a show and we didn't know what genre to call ourselves. And an inebriated gentleman walked up and said, "Y'all are possum rock."
Yeah.
You're like, fair enough.
So he ran with it.
Yeah, I could see that. Like the energy in your guys' songs is like something that's very unique to you guys. And for some reason, a possum just seems like the best animal to put that with.
We're kind of running with a possum. We've got possum t-shirts.
Yeah, we got possum t-shirts, and it's been really interesting to get. Like, I don't think we ever thought we would be country on any level or whatever, but it is like
there's a little twang.
Yeah, we were raised on it. And especially like our guitar player Ryland, he loves like honest singer songwriter country music. And I think when he's in the room and he's with us writing his guitar riffs or whatever, like that just kind of happens on accident.
Yeah.
And now we're getting these opportunities to play with these people. And it's like, oh, holy shit, these guys kind of sound like us. That's awesome. Because for the last couple of years, we've been playing with like jazz bands, indie pop, you know, Vampire Weekend cover bands.
Anyone that'll take us.
And, it feels good to fit in, you know?
For sure. And that's, you kind of hit it on the nail on the head there. But I was going to ask, like, was this sound something that, it was truly organic to you guys that just kind of happened out of thin air when you guys first started playing together? Or was it like, this is what we want to sound like? Or like how did that all work out?
She joined and that was a big deal. But also like all of us had never really been in a band before. Like I'd never played music with anyone in my life before. Just like we were all just kind of going for it and hoping that we would know what to do. But she was like, she knew how songs worked and like what it should sound like here, what it should sound like there, blah 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 blah. And then I would be writing stuff and hoping that it would stick to a wall, and if it didn't, Wells would come in and be like, chop chop chop, let's fix it, make it a little better. And slowly over time it just became this Southern rock pop thing. There's still lots of electronic stuff to come from this band. I'll make sure of it.
Hell yeah.
I'm not supposed to, but I love a synthesizer.
He's not allowed.
I just touch. We have a lot of old demos where it's like techno and then Ryland comes in with a banjo solo. And so that'll happen. But you know, we have to We have to wait for that.
Right on.
Yeah.
So another thing, when I was first like looking into you guys, the live show looks nuts. And what I've always said on here, it's like being a dead horse at this point, is that live shows, for a fan who hasn't seen you guys yet, that's what's going to get them to stay, I think. Like, if you go and see a show, like, if it's high energy, you know, good crowd reaction, like, you're going to want to see that show again. Because you can't, it's hard to come across new artists on streaming services, you know, all the time. Like, you know, at like a up and coming level. So how would you guys describe your live show, and what is your guys' view on the importance of a good live show?
I think a good live show is all but 100% what it's about. Because everyone is a good musician. Everyone's good.
Yeah.
But what's going to set you apart is if people want to be there listening to what's good. And if they're bored, they don't really care that, like, you're an impressive musician. They're gonna go home because there's something better to do. So I think it's all about the energy that you bring in drawing people in and engaging with the crowd and making them want to be there. And Garrett's great at that. He's wonderful at making sure to, like, he runs around and, like, he'll get on top of things. And
well, you know, the big thing I think that I hate the internet, and me and her have struggled with. Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the whole business is like, is if we don't have a certain amount of numbers on each of these levels, then these guys with all the money and all the strings to give us better shows, they're not going to invest in us. And so we're always trying so hard to make something of ourselves on there. And then you have people like the Moonrocks and Mitchell who are giving us these opportunities to be on the road, even though we don't have the numbers. And when I'm there with my, you know, four best friends on stage, and I'm looking at 500 people that I don't know in a town I've never been in, I'm just going to be completely honest. Cause one, it's awkward, but it's also like, hey, this is us. Like, I'm not trying to fucking sell you on anything. Like, I'm just so stoked to be here with everyone that I love. And I love these songs that we've written. And if you like them, that would be really cool. And if you buy a t-shirt, that might be really cool too. So we can afford to get home. But you know, like, it sucks, man. I hate going to a show and it's like, you're like on live TV or something, because the performance is just strict. You know, everything feels so strict and played out. And yeah, we have a set list, but I don't know. Maybe we will one day, but I hope we never loose. We never tighten up. I hope we're always loose.
Yeah.
Maybe it looks fancy out where I say that.
but like when you touched on the, like, the aspect when it comes to like the social media stuff and everything online, I'd imagine being around guys like Mitchell and Dexter and the Moonrocks, who are the best at that shit.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to promoting music and all that, that'll probably be, you know, like, that has to be a good, like, learning experience at least, you know, like,
absolutely,
hey.
Absolutely,
like,
dude.
They have it, like, after science. I mean, Fox is quite brilliant with all that. So we'll, like, just take tips and pointers and, like, watch what they do.
Liam St. John, he's another guy that'll tell you he hates the internet, but he's, like, found a way to make it work for him because he hates it so much, and like he just has fun with it, and then it fucking works, you know. So it's cool. Fox is a genius. Mitchell is hilarious. That Overcooked video, dude, that was so.
Oh, dude.
Do you know what I'm talking about? That was crazy.
I would stay up till like midnight watching him on live, like playing that fucking game, because he's just so funny.
Oh my god.
But yeah, and like kind of hitting back on that, because I was going to ask you that anyway, is that when it comes to the socials and stuff, because I'm like you, like I'm not good at this shit. Like I've learned a lot from like the guys who like taught me how to do it. And it's like, and like, was it hard to adjust to like, because that's like the name of the game nowadays is like the TikTok videos, the all that, the streaming, it's like, and I feel like we have grown up with, like, CDs were still kind of a thing. We look around the same age, I'd say. So I feel like we've grown up with, like, the CDs, all that shit. So it's still relatively new to us, too. And, like, was it hard to adjust into that whole thing, like taking on the socials head on and stuff like that?
You want to talk? Because I feel like you've just been... I feel like she's been traumatized by social media.
Well, it's both of us. He runs Instagram and I run the TikTok.
And, like, that's the thing. There's 8 other platforms that we need to be working on. But it's like we're a 5-person team. We just became 6 because one of our friends, luckily, will give up a week of his life to come on the road with us. And... even though we can't pay him, you know, but he's out there coming up with ideas and filming stuff.
I like that you just made up the word luckfully.
Is that not a real word?
No. No, I think it's luckily, but...
That's good. Luckfully. Luckily, we could write a song about it.
That's right.
There Either you go. But yeah.
The social media aspect of it is like, I don't know, like there are parts of it that are fun and like...
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. People are so sweet, and, you know, you'll get, like, comments that make your day, and, you know, there's a lot of good to it, but it is also the worst.
Well, I think I hate the comparison. Like, you're on there that entire time, and, like, I don't believe anyone that tells me they're not comparing themselves to other people, because I don't, like, really enjoy social media. I'm just constantly watching other people be successful. And I'm like, fuck me, man. They, not that I'm, you know, what's the word? Is it zealous? Is that, did I make that up? But
no,
you know,
that's a real one.
You know,
that's
a real one. Because you're like, wow, that's awesome. Holy shit. How do I do that?
And then, I think you just want jealous though.
Maybe just jealous. But I, you know, it's impressive. And we live in a world of numbers. Everything's numbers. And you can have a kajillion numbers over here. And then, 2 numbers over here, and none of that math makes any sense.
Right. There's a ratio of it that there's like science to luck, and no one knows how much of it is like planned out. Like you can do this thing and it will guarantee you lots of views, or you just post something and it goes viral for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what the ratio is. Fox doesn't even know what the ratio is. Like, I think you get lucky that first time and then you can run with it and kind of start to like nitpick things and figure out what works. But
you get better at it.
Right. Until you have a video that like popped off for not one reason. It's just really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that's hard to figure out, and I don't know. It's like, you're right though. It does take like that one viral moment, I feel like, and then you get that group of fans and they'll just stick around for you. So, but
because you were talking about CDs, I like, that's how I grew up, was listening to CDs. That's what I like if I did well in school, at the end of the week, we would go in on, usually it was Tuesdays because albums came out on Tuesdays, but we'd go on a Tuesday and I'd get to pick out whatever CD I wanted. And it's crazy to me that, like, people don't do that anymore. Like, that's not how people listen to music. And, you know, I hope that that the live show is the closest thing you can get to, like, giving it as real as possible instead of putting a bunch of makeup on in the studio, which is what we all do. You know, we're always going to try to make it the best possible song or the best possible album. But it should be real, you know?
I agree. Because
that's what we're here to do. That's what art is to do, is to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. No, yeah, you're totally right. And let's talk a bit about your most recent release, though, going off that. It's still recent, April. You know, that was just April a couple months ago. A Good Year for Hunting, which I listened to it, and it was fantastic. I loved it. And I guess I want to know, first off, we could get, like, when it comes to, like, producers or anything, who's all the personnel on that? Who you work with?
Wow, that's a...
So A Good Year for Hunting was, I think it was last summer, we went down to Florida and recorded it.
Yeah.
But the producers, or, like, whoever you're working with, it just, I mean... it switches up.
We were working with a team of people that were not looking out for our best interests, and we almost lost the EP. The EP was like, there was a couple of other songs. It's supposed to be almost an album. But we lost some songs, and it was a whole thing. And for a while there, we thought we weren't going to get to put them out. And then we got a hold of them, and they were ours. And I told the band, I was like, I don't feel like there's any other time in our lives where these songs are meant to be like put out into the world. Like, if we hold on to them, we're just going to hold on to them forever. And because we've been writing new stuff, and we just recorded a couple of new songs that we're going to start putting out next week. But that EP was so important. We had manifested it for 2 years, and it was supposed to be bigger. And I've had that title in my head forever, A Good Year for Hunting, because we wrote Jaw Song so long ago. And it just, like, the title itself was, it makes me think about the whole process of recording it and almost losing the album. But it was like we were learning, finding out what we needed as a band and as friends, and how to keep this thing sustainable. And I think at the end of the day, it's just the people that come to those shows and leave the comments on Instagram and TikTok and listen to the songs. And I mean, that's just, it makes it worth it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. So who you have recorded with, it just kind of switches up, because you get into sticky situations and then you move on to someone else. It's we're not like signed or anything.
Super independent. We did just start working with this wonderful guy named Cole. He is in Greensboro, North Carolina. He just recorded.
Yeah, we'll name drop him.
Yeah, we'll name drop him, because he was
a fantastic dude.
He just recorded. We've done 3 songs with him now. One of them's going to come out next week. And that's been a really interesting process too, is something that we didn't, because before A Good Year for Hunting, everything else that came out, we even had an album out at one point, and it was terrible. It was so bad.
Really scary.
Because I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just producing and recording everybody on my laptop through a little.
And how to synthesize.
Interface, and I'd hold a microphone over Sarah's violin like this, and then. You know, so we didn't know what we were doing. And like, even like, it's so crazy to like, a producer is super important, because they are that extra person in the room. They're going to make sure that your song is the best it can be in that moment, like no matter what. And I think any artist you've probably talked to would tell you the same thing. Like, that's one of the most important things to have, is someone you can trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going and listening to that EP and everything, like, it's hard to, I can only describe it as unique. Like, it's songs that stick out. Like, they don't, when I listen to new music, and it's not just me, it's probably a lot of people, is that sometimes, you know, you get to like, I don't know, like the 15 second mark. If you're not vibing with it, you change it, right?
Right.
Like, I feel like that's a lot of people. And, but with you guys, like, it is just so unique. The like, sonically, the songwriting's unique. Like, it's just something you want to hear more of it. And when is there like a certain, what's the dynamic when it comes to writing the song, whether it's like the lyrics or anything like that? Anything, how do you craft a song, I guess, as a band? That's a pretty broad question. Sorry, but
no, I think it's a little different.
So it definitely goes through, like, I mean, it gets put through the ringer, right? Like, it goes through every band member.
Yeah.
And we all, like, tweak or, like, give input in some different way, and then it changes, and it's on to the next band member who, mm-hmm. like, will do something different with it. But it always starts normally. Well, I guess not always, but someone, maybe it's Garrett, has some lyrics and a melody in his head, and he's like, I think we can work with this.
Yeah.
Or maybe Ryland, like, played around with a riff, and then we add lyrics after we have a riff.
Yeah.
And then it's presented to the rest of the band, and it's like, yeah, we can work with this, or no, this is the worst thing ever.
There's a lot of, like, in, you know, we're just all arguing about a song for so long before it comes out. But not in like a bad way, just like we always want to just put our best foot forward, and we've learned that sometimes we're not going to be in a room with a producer that's going to do that and help us do that. So we have to be accountable for ourselves. Right.
It's all, it's all just everyone's opinions and a space for everyone to
express themselves,
give their input.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely like it's a fun hodgepodge. It's not very formal. There is that bass, like guitar riff or the lyrics and a melody, they'll just bring it to a practice and say, all right, let's play this. And then everyone like improvises what they think their part should be. And we just play it over and over again until eventually everyone's happy. And it's like a song.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was like imagining, because there does seem to be like a very obvious group dynamic with you guys. Like it is a whole, you know, all or nothing kind of deal. It's not just this one guy or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that. That means the world, honestly. That's like all I ever think about. I couldn't do it without them. And I don't think you would be doing this without us. So like, it's just crazy. It's like, we're all forcing ourselves to be here, but we really want to be here. We just don't want to admit it.
Right. Yeah. You're feeding off each other. That's good.
So thanks for saying
that. Oh yeah. Yeah. But you mentioned some new stuff coming out, and this is going to be out. I know you said next week we'll be putting out a song.
Yeah.
So this will be out after that. So if you want to talk a little bit about what that's all going to be about, what we can expect from that, go ahead.
Well, we usually argue, like I say, we argue about songs all the time. And then I wrote this one song like mid-January, and I wrote two verses and a chorus and was whatever. And then I was like, hey, Wells, I think this would be good. Can we practice it? And he changed some of the chords or whatever. We practiced it, and then boom, everyone was really into it. Everyone learned their parts like super fast. And so we played it at the show immediately. The next show we played at the end of the month. And we hadn't seen a crowd like give a shit about our music like that before. And the song that we hadn't put out. And they, it's been the first time also that that's happened to us where we're like promoting a song really, really hard. And like the release date has been so long out, but it's finally coming out. It's called Pavement. And then after that, we're just going to do a couple singles following it every month. Because we're just, like we were saying earlier, we're so in between who we're working with and what's going on. And like, we really want to record an album one day, but clearly, also the industry just doesn't want albums, and so it's better to keep it short form so that you have more to give to people. So we have a couple songs coming. We have one that we just recorded where Sarah's recording it. It's really cool. She sings on it and then plays the violin, and it's sad. We've never had a sad song. Well, not like a sad song like this before. Yeah. So I'm really stoked. And then we have an angry punk song coming as well about the government.
Hell yeah.
About that one.
Hell yeah. I'm excited.
I think most artists think that all their songs are catchy, right? Because like, if you didn't, then you wouldn't put them out.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case, right? Like you put your songs out into the world and the people are going to receive it. However,
That's how it's supposed to be.
I think Pavement is the first one where we are like, oh, they think this is catchy. they want this song.
Yeah.
And so we're pretty excited to release it.
It was awesome. A thank God moment, honestly. It was like, at least they kind of like it. Like, even if it's just a couple dudes, at least they fuck with it.
Yeah, it's working.
Right.
Oh yeah. So and I guess also we were talking about all these shows you guys have. If you don't have any of the dates in front of you, just do the best you can, but what do we got to look, where could we see you, who you're going to be with and everything?
This week we're with Red Leathers, so we do Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow, we do Charlotte, North Carolina Friday, Richmond, Raleigh, North Carolina, and then oh, look at that list. And then we go with Dexter, and we're going to Springfield, Little Rock, and Memphis. And we thought about staying in the Bass Pro Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. It's far too expensive.
The Mecca.
There's a hotel, bro. It's crazy.
Oh, damn, for real?
You can stay in there. You can stay in the pyramid.
It's crazy.
Wow.
That's June 12th, 13th, 14th, and 19th. You know what? Check out our website. Maybe that's it. And then Mitchell, we're with Mitchell in August, and we're really stoked about Mitchell with August. And then we're going to do some more shows here on the East Coast in the fall. And then, like, dude, honestly, we also are in this game where, like, I like being super honest, or at least not trying to put on a, you know, some sort of ploy that we're doing better than we are. But we're in between. Like, we're waiting for somebody to offer us shows and whatever, because, you know, it's hard to book yourself a tour playing in 50 capacity bars with four different bands in a town you've never been in, and you're going to make $60. But we'll do that. You know, we're going to do that regardless, but it's hard to do it when, like, maybe there's something else out there for us, and who knows? You know, I don't know. I'm rambling. Sarah told me not to ramble.
No, you're fine.
It's just tough. This business is tough. I hate this. I hate this industry, and I love it so much at the same time. It's so exciting, but it's so much comparison and lying. And I hate the lying part. I don't like to lie. You know, it's not worth it. Like, I think we have to be honest. I think that's the problem with our generation, is we're behind these screens now and we just can lie about anything. And that's awesome. You can be whoever you want to be, but, like, be yourself. Yeah. That's who I want. You know, that's who I want to talk to at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
I ramble.
No, you're fine. No, like, but that's so true. It's so true, because, like, if you're able, because you guys, like, still being up and coming and at this cool, like, middle stage of where you guys are, like getting all these shows and, like, this cool music that is truthfully, like, your guys' sound. And I feel like you're very mature, I guess, in the creative aspect. Like, I guess, I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, when it comes, because, like, it's like this, when, if someone listens to you guys, like, I could see very easily, like, all right, this is Cigarettes at Sunset. Like, it's, this is them, this is their sound, all of that. And you guys seem to be at a really cool spot, so it's really exciting to see this and hear that you guys have a pretty damn busy rest of the couple months of the year coming up when it comes to shows and new music and everything. So guys, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun. It was good to finally talk to you. But thanks everyone for listening. Also, make sure to check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, will pop up. So I'm Sam. This is Garrett and Sarah from Cigarettes at Sunset. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see ya. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make